So this morning we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And again, relatively familiar parable of Jesus. And we're also, as you know, working our way through the book of Colossians. And however, last week we had harvest and we had the open service. And I was considering just saying a few words on this parable, but it didn't quite seem to be something that was appropriate for last week. So I thought I would dig into it a bit more and actually share about this parable this morning, and then we'll go back to Colossians. So Lord, we do just pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit and help us, Heavenly Father, to really have ears to hear as Jesus taught us here in this parable. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what is a parable? A parable is simply a simple story, and usually quite a short story, although I have to say in the New Testament we have some very short parables of just a verse or two, and then we have extensive ones of many paragraphs. But nevertheless, it's a simple story, a story which is drawn from everyday life, but is used to communicate spiritual truth. And for Jesus, parables were a key way of teaching about God and about the kingdom of God for those who had ears to hear. So Jesus said that this parable, which is very well known and called the parable of the sower, is really foundational to understanding all of Jesus's parables. In fact, he said, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables?" So to understand the parables and this parable, we don't, in fact, need a degree in theology, which is probably just as well. What we need is a heart that is open to God, a heart that hears and listens. And as we read in this parable, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day, who certainly had their theological credentials, in fact, didn't understand. Jesus said, they're ever hearing, but never understanding. The reason being that their hearts were not really open to God. But God does want us to understand what he calls here in verse 11, the mystery or the secret of the kingdom of God. And if our hearts are open to Christ, then we will understand. Now, I've just done what I usually do. Forget I've got a nice set of PowerPoint slides, which I would like. There we go. So I've called this morning, Listening for Fruitfulness. Listening for Fruitfulness. So what's this parable about? It's about a farmer who sowed some seed on four different kinds of soil, on a path, which was a hard path, on rocky ground, among thorns, and fourthly, into the good soil. And Jesus interprets this parable for us in verses 15 to 20, originally interpreting it for his immediate disciples. He says that the seed is the word of God. The soil represents our hearts. The different kinds of soil show us that we receive or resist or allow this seed, which is the word, to grow in our lives, or responding to it in different ways. In other words, this is a parable about Spiritual receptivity to God. It's a parable about transformation, and ultimately it's a parable about spiritual fruitfulness. Now, when we come to really any passage of the Bible, or many things, not just only the Bible, certain questions arise in our minds. And we might ask ourselves, what questions really does this parable provoke? And we might immediately ask ourselves, well, which type of soil am I? And I'd say at one level that that's not a bad question at all. For example, the Apostle Paul does encourage us in his second book of Corinthians to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. So that's a healthy thing to do, to examine ourselves in terms of our relationship with God. But I don't think this is the primary question that particularly Mark in his gospel is inviting us to ask here. And this is because, actually, uniquely in Mark, he begins the parable with Jesus giving a command. And that command is to listen. In fact, it's the same word in the Greek as to hear. And then he closes the parable. This is before the interpretation. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Although we have that in all the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which contain this parable. The parable in Mark particularly, I think, is inviting us to ask the question, who am I listening to? In other words, are we really listening to God's word? It reminds me of Jesus' words to churches in the book of Revelation, where he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we have here an urgent call to listen, which is in fact typical in Mark's gospel, which is repeatedly has instructions which come over in quite an urgent way, like he uses the word immediately often. Well, here it's the word listen. Listen to the word, and it's also a call to overcome. In fact, it echoes really the key heart of Old Testament faith, which Jews still recite today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is like a teacher when a fire alarm goes off and saying, listen up, this is not a drill. Listen is a call to attentiveness. It's a call to readiness to act. And this call to listen to the word applies to each one of us, wherever we might be in our walk with God. So it's a journey of listening. And I think a good way to understand this parable is to see it as a journey of spiritual formation, each type of soil reflecting a stage in our growth. We all face spiritual resistance. We all face troubles and distractions in our lives. But the point of this parable is to move us forward towards the goal of being the good soil to produce fruitfulness in our lives. So let's look at these different types of soil and keep in mind this question, who am I listening to? Let's think first of all about the path. And you can see that I've put the words there, spiritual interference. Some people, said Jesus, are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. See, there's a spiritual enemy out there as well, we believe and experience, who wants, if you like, to jam the airwaves, like trying to jam the enemy airwaves in wartime. The word is spoken, but then all sorts of thoughts come into our minds to try and jam God's communication with us. And we hear words such as, "Has God really said?" Which, of course, are the very words of the serpent in the garden, sowing doubts in our minds. Or, "If you listen, it's going to cost you too much and you're going to have to change," really implying that God is not good. Yes, we may well have to change, but if so, it will be for our good. So who are we really listening to? Jesus said, God sends his word for our good and for our blessing. It says in the Psalms that he sent forth his word and he healed them. The devil, in one way or another, wants to tell us that God's word is not good for us. But this whole parable really is pointing us in the direction of spiritual fruitfulness in our lives. If we're going to reach that goal, we have to recognize and also decide to resist this spiritual interference and put it to one side. As it says in the book of James, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." There's a spiritual battle. To bear fruit, we need to recognize it and resist the voice that wants to come and steal the word from us, as Jesus said about the seed sown along the path. But let's look, secondly, at the rocky ground. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So when we're going through trials and difficulties and troubles, who are we really listening to? What are the voices that we're listening to? And particularly, which are the voices that are growing louder and which are the ones that we're not listening to? Are we listening to God's word and his promises? Are we standing firm? Or do we start listening to the voices of fear and doubt and unbelief? Jeremiah was a man who stood firm in his faith. And this is what he said: "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes." Now, the heat of the troubles, the trials, maybe the persecutions that many Christians around the world really do face. "Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, but never fails to bear fruit." We don't like troubles. Who does? But if we keep listening to God's word, it can be these very troubles that actually help our roots to go deeper into the good soil, which is a step towards spiritual fruitfulness. As James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. The third kind of soil is the thorny ground. Jesus said, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So here the thorns represent things like worry, and who doesn't experience anxiety and worry, but sometimes it can just flood in. The desires for other things, particularly the desire for money and wealth. These are all things that crowd into our lives and actually choke out the voice of God from our lives. However, Tim Keller, who is a well-known preacher and teacher, said the main problem of our hearts is not so much desires for bad things, but our over-desire for good things, turning created things into gods, like, for example, wealth. We're all faced with these kinds of temptations, but to become fruitful, we need to keep Jesus at the center. We need to keep Jesus first in our lives. And of course, this can mean denying ourselves as well. As Jesus said, that to follow him, we need to take up our cross, deny ourselves and to follow him. And put these things that can seem so attractive, but they're not really going to bring the blessing, and to put them to one side. As Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The fourth soil is the good soil. If you like, the product of fruitful listening. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And God is good, and this is what he desires. He desires for wholesome lives, fruitful lives. It's what Paul the Apostle also prayed for, coming back to our Colossians chapter 1, if you remember, that he was praying that the Colossians would bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. So in conclusion, keep listening. You know, this word hear or listen, which I mentioned is actually the same word in the Greek, is used 7 times in this parable. It will be resisted. The spiritual resistance that comes in to prevent us from really hearing. The troubles and persecutions which tempt us to throw it all in, to put it to one side, it's too much. But actually can be opportunities for our roots to go deeper into Christ. Many distractions, inevitable in all of our lives, to keep us from really listening. But these are all the things that we can expect, because God has a purpose in it. He allows them to test our faith for this reason, that we might grow in our faith and become mature, because he wants us to become fruitful, both individually and also as a church. This is the Christian life. So this parable greatly encourages us. This parable helps to keep us on track. And I would say the words of Jesus that he spoke so long ago are totally relevant for us today and still stand for us today. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Let be those who receive the word. Let's be those who remove the rocks from our lives and allow our roots to go deeper. Let's be those who clear the thorns out of our lives. Let's be those who resist that lying and snatching voice. Let's be those who ask God to make our hearts into that good soil, that we may bear fruit 60, 30, or even 100-fold. Amen.